Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for life and health and strength. Thank you, Father, for the desire to be here and the freedom that we still have to be here. Please bless our time in your presence. Please be with those that can't be here, with Pat and Steve, for their health difficulties, Lord, for Lynn and Dr. Shine and Frank, for their travel. Pray for Colin and Charlotte. But also remember, Lord, Mary Ann, as she gets ready to go in for surgery and a knee. Father, you know all our needs and those of our brothers and sisters. And I pray, Father, please, that you would deliver our needs this day. To lift them up and knock them down, comfort them, so we get more knowledge, but both wisdom. Father, please provide for us. Lord, we love you, we thank you. Pray to bless all the heads that are bowed in your presence and the households that are represented. And most of all, Lord, we pray for your word to be done. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your name. Amen. Right. We're going to begin with, we'll do number 11 in the big book, sorry, in the wee black book. Number 11 is Immortal, Invisible God of New Rights.
My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto you, sent unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sins, and are convinced of the laws as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offended in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Thou, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For ye shall have judgment without mercy, that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiced against judgment. What doth it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful your body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and thou hast works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well, the devil also believes and trembles. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by work a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For if the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen.
Thanks, Norman. Okay, thank you, Norman. remind everybody about the wee white perilous, most especially Lyme and Frank and Dr. Shine are travelling home today. Pardon?
As we speak.
Even as we speak. So please do pray for them. Please do pray also for Will's grandma. She is getting ready to go for surgery. I would appreciate your prayers too. I don't seem to be shaking whatever this is off. So I appreciate prayers there as well. Pray for each other. Absent brethren. Pray for Charlotte and Colin. Pray for Pat and Steve. For all the things that's going on in the world. Because let me tell you, there's plenty going on. The leaders of our countries have proven themselves to be again and again pretty much useless. We need proper leaders. Please pray for those that are throwing their hats in the ring with their patriots and not just out of the felt their nests like so many others. Please do pray for China, for Russia, for Europe, South America, Africa. Goodness, the whole world needs a lot of prayer. But sadly, I know a lot of people, even though we all have free will and God's a good God, a lot of people's not going to listen. So just be much in prayer. One other thing. Anybody private prayer requests? Does everybody? Okay. Put your hands down. Thank you very much. That's us. Nice. Have a wee word of prayer and then we'll continue on. Can you pray for us?
Father, thank you this day, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and by much grace that you see the Son of Death and Pastor Art, Lord. And we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus' day, Lord. And Lord, may you be able to share with others, Lord, with us and God also as well, Lord, with Frank, with Shine and then, Lord, with the care of them, keep them safe and well, Lord, and bring them back safely back to us as well, Lord. And pray for them, keep them safe as well, Lord. Just call and Charlotte, Lord, Lord, pray for trouble, Lord, and Jonathan, Lord, bring them back to us, and bless Jonathan as well, Lord.
Oh,
think we need a third person. I don't know. Right. Go back page or two and we'll sing hymn number 10, I think it is. Thine be the glory. We'll stand as we sing, and then we will put our hymn books down and take our Bibles. Hymn number 10, Thine be the glory.
Boast in the Lord.
and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard it, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. And taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen. That's our Bible reading. Verse number 8 is our main text this morning. Speaking on the subject of three samples. And here we are. Let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again, for all your many helps and blessings. And I pray, Lord, this morning, that you would just watch over us, Lord, and set a wall around about us. I know there's many distractions and many things in the world that are grabbing our attention or begging for our attention, Lord, and in the grand old scheme of things, there's really very, very little that actually does need our attention. If we tend to those, Lord, so many other things just go out. We indeed thank you for preserving your word, Lord, and thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would minister to each one of us a very special blessing, Lord, even if it's only a moment or two of your presence. Lord, you know all the thoughts of our hearts. You know all our private prayer requests. You know the things that we need and the things, the pitfalls we need to avoid. And Father, I know that if we trust in you and not in the world, you'll see us safely through and out the other side. Please bless our time in your presence, Father. Please bring to our remembrance many promises and blessings and helps and edifications and nuggets of wisdom. Most importantly, Lord, we pray for your will to be done. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the people represented by Boris Johnson and Joe Biden. I pray for, Lord, that you would, as you have said in your word, that the evil would slay the wicked. We see this happening so many, many times. Lord, please oppose those that hate you, those that are set on destruction and mischief, and please bless those that love you, Father. Please bless us, Lord. Father, just thank you again. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the free gift of salvation, for preserving your word. And Lord, we thank you for this lovely time you've set aside from the world. Bless us, I pray. Amen. Amen. Three samples. That is our text. But before we get into that, just a word or two from on these thoughts that David penned. There was a time in David's life when he was having to lie for his life, and he pretended to be mad in front of a king, and he was at his wit's end. Saul was looking for him, his other enemies, the enemies of his country were looking for him, and he had to go well out of his comfort zone, trusting in the Lord and depending on his guidance to keep him right. And there is much pleading, and there's much petitioning. reminding of many promises, and a reminder also that it's not all coming from God, that it's not all one-sided, that we have our bit to do, and we should be honouring God as well, that we ourselves should be making a place for God in our lives. And actively pursuing verse number 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. And we need to remember, and it's very easy to forget, because this world hates God. It really does. It actively tries to remove him from every single part of our lives. But our God is not one of these Hollywood gods. And he's not the God of so many of the churches out there, a God that can be set in a window when we want to feel holy and then put in a cupboard whenever we want to drink and curse and swear and commit immorality. Our God is a God that's far bigger than any building. Our God is much more than the people that worship and praise him. He's not a God that you can pull the wool over his eyes. And you can just turn up on his in his house, so to speak, and he'll be satisfied with a few leftovers, a few bits and pieces of stuff that we don't want. He's not pleased with the believer that talks a good fight and is never there when he's needed. And you know that accounts for not just people in churches these days, but that accounts for people in so many spheres of life. Lots of people talk a good fight, but very rarely are they ever there to do the fighting. He's the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it, and that means you and me. He knows our every thought and records our every word, and everything that we do is remembered. And it's not because he's going to punish them for it. He wants to reward us for the things that we do. What if we do stupid things? What does they say? Stupid deeds get stupid rewards, or something like that. He invented the laws of physics, and he commands them to this very day. He started time, was the very first verse in the Bible, in the beginning. And he created us and the free will in us. He made us immortal souls, and we are going to live forever. No matter how short your life in this world is, you will live forever. And he is so gracious that he even lets us choose our own destiny. He lets us choose where we're going to be spending our eternity. And for the whole of our lives, he gently tries to persuade us and to convince us to trust him. Instead of the changing worldviews, he's never going to grab us by the lapel and drag us to heaven. He forgives us continually, Christians, for breaking his laws and his commandments. And it shouldn't be a trouble for us to turn up in church, even though there's only a handful of us here today. It shouldn't be a bother. You turn up in church for God, not for me, not for Norman or Will or Monica. Turn up for God to praise him, to give him your tithes, to give him an hour or two out of your week. He deserves it. He saved your soul. He deserves your service and their obedience. And the thing that always tickles me is that so many people don't like his word. Because when you start quoting the Bible to them, they start talking about how what a holy Joe you are. And they don't like his house because they only turn up maybe once or twice a year. And if that was a family, you would call that a perfunctory or a duty visit. It's not out of love. They certainly don't like his people because as Christians go and live as Christians, all you do is convict people of their sin. I'm going to tell you, if you don't like his word and you don't like his house and you don't like his people, you're not going to like heaven. Why would you want to be buried in a place where they're telling you that for the whole life that you lived hating God and his people and his word, that you're going to spend eternity with him? Goodness, that doesn't sound very good. That sounds like someone whose name you've called them names, you've thrown stones at their windows, you've stuck a knife in his tires and you want to go to his house for Christmas dinner? No, that doesn't sound right at all. Anyway, the Psalms are great. There's a lot of comfort to be had in them. There is certainly a lot of petitions lifted up to God for victory and for peace and for a healing and one thing and another. One of the things that really that stood out as I was reading Psalm 34 was verse number 8, where David said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in him." He said, "Taste." Now, he's obviously not talking to a believer, or maybe he is. He's not talking to someone whose soul is bound up in God's hands. He's talking to someone that's all sitting on the fence. And it reminds me a little bit, I don't know if you ever did this whenever you went into Tesco's when you were little, or what was it back in Tesco's? It was Stewart's, there you go. And they would have their new packets of stuff, their new cheeses, or their tins of stuff, and they would have someone going around, and they would have a little tray of these all set out, or even sitting up on the counter, and you could just help yourself. You could taste and see if this new product was good. You get a free sample taster. Not a meal, not enough to live on its own, just a taste. So that you could make up your own mind that if your life would be better with this little bit of food. I know what children are like, and I've been there myself, even as an older child. And you would go back three or four times to get enough to do you until the next meal. But it's a little bit even like driving a new car. You ever get an invitation from a garage to come down and test drive a new car because they think that you spending 15, 20 minutes or even half an hour driving this new car is going to convince you that your life would be better with this new car, so much better than your old. Well, the Lord says the same. He doesn't say, "Believe me because I tell you to believe me." He says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Have a little bit." Even to a lost soul. You've tasted of the world. You know what it does to people. It grinds people down. Sends them on fool's errands, down rabbit holes, wild goose chases. Has anyone ever heard of a snipe hunt? Ever hear of a snipe hunt? That's a fool's errand. That's something that they would send new guys out on. And they'll even lie to your face and expect you to believe. Because everybody else does. You need to know that the Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we should never be afraid to try something that the Lord mentions in his word. To try talking to someone if you're very shy. Remember the people that the Lord, Moses said, "I can't speak, I'm not a great orator." When he had been taught for 40 years to be a public speaker. There was one other man who claimed, and I can't recall his name, but we were speaking about him not that long ago. And God said, "Look, I made the tongue. Let me give you the words to speak and see how it goes for the crack." Now, I've got a few things I just want to mention in particular, but there's a whole bunch of stuff. Prayer time, Bible reading, handing out leaflets, even just striking up a conversation with someone in the street, speaking to them about their Canada. There's a whole bunch of stuff that most folks would never do. Because they're afraid, because they think for some strange reason that they'll be struck dead or people will not want to talk to them anymore. But I have news for you. Most people, whenever they see or hear you, will forget you in about 5 or 10 minutes. At least I do. Maybe a bit longer. Unless something really memorable happens. They'll remember you if you lead them to the foot of the cross, but most folks will forget you. That's what I have running through my head when I'm wearing my big hat and my bright orange and blue raincoat in the middle of the town with the microphone. They see the hat, they see the coat, they'll never remember the face. And so I just pack it all away and I can walk through the crowd just like anybody else. Nobody remember. But those words could make a difference. This invitation is not just to save people. This invitation is for lost people too. And I remember many times as a lost man when I met this lady, Jeannie Hopper, she would be nearly 70 now if she's still alive. But she came to the hotel where I worked as a young lost man. and invited me to come to church with her. And so I did. And one of the things I noted in the church was the atmosphere. It was a different atmosphere. There was an absence of strife. There was an absence of profanity and immorality. It was godly. And it was clean. It was like the difference between drinking water. It was like my chickens. They'll not look at the water in the basin that I set out for them. If it's been there for a day or two, but if I tip it out onto the ground, all of a sudden they'll drink it off the ground. The chickens are stupid. And then I'll fill it up with fresh water and they'll go and drink that too. God said, this is just a little bit of what I have for my children. A little bit. When you come into God's house, and the peace of God and the Spirit, don't forget the promise of God is that wherever two or three are gathered together, that he'll be there in the midst. God says, this is just a taste. Not just a taste of heaven, but a taste of life right now that you can have in the spirit of me. When you look at Christians and they're not suffering hangovers, do you know how many people we saw on the way to church this morning drinking their energy drinks and their Lucozade? And you know full well they're still half-canned, they're still drunk, and they're having to rehydrate, and they're having to get sugar, and Lucozade has got caffeine and sugar and water in it, and it's what they use to perk people up. Remember the old Resolve used to be the one, but you don't find too many people in church, and you shouldn't. You'll not find too many Christians suffering from a hangover on a Sunday morning. They should have their faces washed and themselves dressed and ready for church. You'll not find the joy that a Christian has, no matter their situation, because this is not their home. There is another home, an eternal home beyond this, that they look for regardless of their situation here. And you'll not have to worry about having something really important to say, but being afraid to say it because of what other people think. Because what God has for you to say is the most important thing in the world. In fact, it was the only thing God said to his disciples whenever he went up under heaven. Go and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's what God said to his people. And not worrying, fearlessness, boldness, saying it out. And no one, regardless of how the day goes, whether you have a great day and people flock to your feet and are crying out, oh, please tell us more about Jesus, we want to get saved. You know, like, remember Jonah, who had a city with over 100,000 souls have come to know Jesus, and he's having a huffy fit. Regardless of whether the whole city wants to come to know Jesus or nobody wants to come to know Jesus, Jesus still has you in the palm of his hand. And no man will pluck you out. You have that assurance of salvation on your best day and on your worst day. And it makes a difference. There's an old account of a young man in an amphitheater who came to watch the Christians being killed, to watch the gladiators fighting each other and fighting the animals. The bears and the tigers and lions and stuff like that. And he had obviously heard many, many times the Christians speak. And as the Christians stood there about to be torn to pieces or hacked and slashed to pieces, they sang and they praised God. And regardless of what was going on around about him, he slipped through the crowd and down into the amphitheater and joined them in death. Because what they had in their death was greater than what the world had for him in life. And God says, why don't you try a wee taste of that? Why don't you throw your lot in with me? Not for the rest of your life. For a few minutes. You just do things my way for a minute or two. Get a family that will take you as you are and help you to be all that you can be. See you grow and change from the what the world would turn you into, see you grow into what God would have you be instead of what the world tried to turn you into. What does the world want you to be? A fornicator, an adulterer, a drug taker, an alcoholic, a smoker, a profaner, a blasphemer? If a little taste, of the Christian life can give a lost soul, or indeed even a saved soul, what it really craves, what do you think a whole life lived with God would do for you? That's for the lost man. What about the Christian? What about the message to the Christian, the person? And let's be honest, none of us are where we should be for God. What about letting the Lord have 5 minutes? What could you do with 5 minutes? Well, you could read one of these verses, and you could read it 15 or 20 times. And before you leave this church today, you could know verse number 8 of Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. You could memorize that. And I'll have to read it and see. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You could know that. You could know that deep down in your heart. Take a few minutes to learn it. And you could walk out of here with a bullet, a spiritual bullet in your spiritual gun, ready to fight the good fight, as Norman's hymn pick was, and pass that on to somebody. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Those are two promises from God to us, to the saved man, to the lost man. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You can keep that in your mind. You could have that ready for the times when life gets difficult for you. Or you could keep that in your mind for somebody else. And just whenever you need it, the Holy Spirit, just like the scriptures say, could bring it right back to you when you need it. A prayer would be answered for you and for the person that needs to hear it. And you could experience personally the thrill of God working directly in your life. The satisfaction, peace, the power. You don't have to learn just one verse, because everybody knows that verse, or should do. You could learn 2 verses or 3 verses in 5 minutes when you're on your game. There's some mornings I could sit and learn 3 or 4 verses, and that'd be good, but then there's other mornings I can barely remember my name. 5 minutes. Taste and see. And if God can do something amazing like that in 5 minutes, what could he do with 15 minutes or 20 minutes? The odds are that you will want to give him a little bit more time. And the more you give him, the more you get back, and the more you'll want to give. I know it's difficult in these days to get out of church. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Am I going to heaven? I know heaven is going to be a place that is super clean. No dust or dirt, because that comes from death and decay. The dust is literally you. As your skin dies and flakes off in tiny little bits and leaves a dust trail wherever it is that you go. So even in the cleanest of houses with no children, there'll always be dust as long as you're in it. It can be work. And I want to tell you, it is work for me. And there have been many times in the past where it has been a struggle for me to be out of church. And getting the old nature corralled and pointed in the right direction and getting your face washed, even though church doesn't happen until, we'll say, 10 o'clock, always seems to be extra work to do it. The thing about it is, heaven is going to be like church, times 1,000, maybe even times 1,000,000. And it'll be so good, because that part of us that rebels against God, our old nature, that'll be gone. There'll only be our new nature and ourselves sitting on top of it. And there'll be no desire to curse or swear. And there'll be no desire to lie in our bed in this church because we'll not need to sleep anymore. There'll be no desire to beat the tar out of people. It'll be perfect. And the thing about it is, we mentioned, if you don't like it in church, you're not going to like heaven very much, and that has to say something about your eternal destination. But for by even that, God says we need to be in church. We shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In fact, the Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. In other words, we should encourage each other. We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day that Christ comes back, or the day that maybe you go to meet Christ yourself, we should be in church. Now the Bible says church is a place where God's presence is more plainly felt, because you're not distracted by your broadband, your widescreen TV. You should have time for God. This is why we're here after all. He did promise wherever two or three are gathered together, he'd be there. It's a place apart from the world, even if it's only for an hour, it's only not even 1% of your week. Well, it might actually be. It's a place to sing and thank him for all that he's done for you. It's a place to fellowship with other people like you. A place for your obedience, even if you have to conquer the old man through clenched fists and teeth, is appreciated and rewarded by God. You ought to give him that. And we ought to fight for it and clear that space. And you will find, as you give God that little bit of time in church, that the rest of your time is sweeter and more useful. There's one that people are never that keen on, and I don't even like speaking on it, but the thought came up, and I can't not mention it, but about tithes and offering. I'm not saying that we need more. As long as you're giving your tithes, your offerings to God's house, that's fine. But you tend to find that those souls that don't, they always find it difficult to get money for anything, even if they have a lot of money. But those that give according as God commands it will always find that their needs are met, and even some of their wants as well. And not only that, but they've obeyed God in supporting God's work in the world in the here and now. And there is a great satisfaction and knowledge in knowing that A, you've obeyed God, and B, you have beaten yourself the greed, the avarice that lies in men's hearts to obey God, and if you've done it once, you can do it again and again and again and again. I am sure I have worked with Norman now for about 9 months, and I know Norman needed a new tool, and he was sharing with me that he has his eye on one or two, that he will get the money for it. That's the truth. And I'm the same with stuff for computers. If there's a part that I really, really, really want, or a thing that I really, really want, I will search high and low until I find the best price and the money to pay for it with. We always find the money to spend on the things we love. You'll find people with hardly any money at all have a beautiful car. They always find the money, either their own or somebody else's, to spend on a lovely new car. Or it might be an old car, and the thrill is in making it look like something beautiful and new, and they will spend thousands on a car that's worth about £500 to put spoilers on it and lots of ice upon and spray it and tart it up and make it look lovely. We always find the money to spend on the things we love. And for a Christian to not put money to support the work of God, that really does show where a Christian's love is. not with God. And those are three or four things that sprung quickly to mind as I was thinking on the message. There's a whole bunch more. Just the little things that God says, well, why don't you let me in when you go to pick out your clothes? How many times? I know that Monica, many times, she's obviously not checking with God whenever she goes to pick out her clothes for the number of times she's sat there freezing. And God maybe said, why don't you put on your boots and your socks and a cardigan? No, no, I want to put on my nice looking dress. And then she'll say to me, then it's, we need to get that door fixed and that draft fixed because I was sitting here freezing. See, warm clothes would solve your problem. And if Monica had said, Lord, what clothes should I wear for church? He would have said, put on your trench coat and your thermal undies and three layers and a t-shirt and a shirt and a blouse and you'd have been toasting. And many times should we, and I know Will's always well talked out, he's never going to be caught cold-footed. I try never to be caught cold-footed whenever it comes to the clothes. But how many times would we say, God, you know, What should I be wearing today whenever I go out and about? It might seem crazy, but Lord, what should I be eating today? Will I have chocolate ice cream with cake and cookies for breakfast, or will I eat something sensible? And try it God's way. And just see what God says. And you will find that giving just a little to God, your Saviour, wants to be your friend. He is your Lord. That little that you give away will come back to you in spades. You ever hear the old saying about sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind? That applies to devilment and wickedness. But it works the other way too. The Lord said in Malachi 3:7, this is what he said about tithes and offerings. Money always speaks to people a lot more closely than fancy oratory, so we'll mention money. This is what God said in Malachi chapter 3. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time that they did, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Whatever you give to God, it seems like, whether it's money or time or effort or even just timeless presence or studying his word, sometimes can seem like a great big effort. It can seem like you're fighting all the hordes of hell itself just to clear your schedule for a half an hour to sit down with his word or in God's presence. I am telling you now that in doing that, it will focus your thoughts, it will renew your strength, it will help you to see things more clearly, and that you will be able to accomplish all that you wanted to accomplish before that, and you have spent time in God's presence, and he will bless you and help you. It will give flavor and joy and color to your life, and comfort and power and peace as you travel through. And it does make a difference. Even as a child, many years ago, goodness, 35, 36 years ago, Before colour TVs were a big thing, if that gives you any indication. I think I've shared this with you, but I was working in my uncle's hotel. And I was hoping to stay there until 11 o'clock at night because they had the first TV showing of the film Alien. And I had an old black and white TV at home, and they had a big colour widescreen TV in the hotel. And I was just hoping to sit and to watch it in the hotel. But my dad came along and says, right, we're going. And I said, but dad, we're going home. And so we went home. And the first thing I noticed, whenever I went in through the door, apart from my parents and my three younger siblings, was there was a new colour TV in the corner of the room. And you know what? TV shows look so much better in colour, don't they? Instead of black and white. It quite literally is a whole new dimension. And this is the difference that having a taste of God in your life makes. It's not just sound. It's 5-1 surround sound. It's not just colour. It's the full RGB gamut of colour. It's not just a little bit of salt. It's salt and it's chili and it's sugar and it's cumin and it's cinnamon and it's every flavour. It's a taste explosion. Everything, the Lord said, becomes new. All things are new to the new creature in Christ. And on top of it all, He gives you power and boldness and wisdom, and you will understand. A lot of people don't like this either, the joy of serving God. It is and makes a big difference in your life. And all because you chose to have a wee taste. To give God a wee taste of your life. And to see that, yes, indeed, He is good. And then you went back for more. It makes a difference. I know, I'm not just talking about, as I mentioned earlier on, I'm not just talking about the big things. I'm talking about everything. Let God in and see what He can do with every part of your life. He loves you, but that's not going to hurt you. He might ask you to give up a few things that are bothering you, and even if you don't know it. But He loves you the best and He wants the very best for you. I know I ask this every time. Which one of the armed forces is to be all that you can be? Army. Is that US military or is it? That's what God wants for you. He knows what is the best you can be. And He has the way to get there. Amen. Stopping there. We'll sing a closing song. And then we will be done. I think we'll sing out of the number one line of the wee black book. Number one is How Great They Are. If you're fit, then stand and we'll sing. And then we will be done.
I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder.
Thank you for your good time. God bless you. May you good Lord stand for the next meet. Just bow your head and be dismissed with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time in your presence. Please, Lord, use it just to work in our hearts and minds to rub the rough edges off a life a bit for us. Love you and praise you. Pray for your good hand upon our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be. And the leaders of the world, Lord, wherever they might be, wherever they might be hiding themselves. And I pray that you would bless Israel. Lord, we leave these things at your feet, our private prayer requests. And Lord, thank you for loving us, for saving our souls, and for preserving your word for us. I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.